Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I'm very happy that you've taken some time out of your busy life to join me this morning on the broadcast. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2020, and the summer is rapidly passing us by. I know that we had oppressive heat here in Florissant yesterday, lots of storms, and another hot, oppressive week. This morning on the broadcast, I want to take us into the heart of a book that I wrote about 8 years ago. It was rather a landmark book for me because I was discussing a subject that is important to me, the subject of the longing, the search for spiritual reality. And this book, entitled Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara, is the story of one person whose life is filled with chaos and her heart is troubled. She's a young, free-spirited, independent woman. Her life is really filled with tragedy and pain. She's a sailing woman, and she is professional at her cause. And what happens in this storyline, Driven by the Wind, is her brother, Nathan, a year earlier, embarks on a worldwide circling of the globe in his tiny sailboat, and then he's never heard of from again. He disappears mysteriously in the Indian Ocean. And Tara, of course, is devastated by the death of her brother, and as a professional sailor trained in the skills of sailing, just like her brother was, she intends to embark on a solo journey around the world to find her brother. But it's more than just a journey to find him. As I mentioned, Tara is a free-spirited, independent woman who really believes that her life and her beliefs, she has the answers to life when she goes out in her sailboat. To any mysteries and anything she doesn't understand, once she gets out in her sailboat into the world of the wind and waves, she feels like she has the answers. But throughout this book, Tara has an urging, a yearning, a longing in her heart. And I want to talk to us this morning about this longing that Tara had that she couldn't find the satisfaction to in any else. And that's really the subject of this book. It's the subject of the longing. And one of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, had the similar experience of the longing. And I want to read to you this morning the preface from my book. I want to discuss the main themes of this book tied into this longing, this yearning in our hearts for spiritual reality. Most of us have been on a journey in our journey to find truth and spiritual reality. We have come to arrive at the doorstep of heaven and find our hope and freedom in Christ. And that longing is in some lives. And I want to read about it this morning to you. from my book Driven by the Wind, in the preface, I'm quoting from a song I wrote. I feel so dry and empty inside. There is no rest from the tears I cry. I'm broken and bruised and I feel I've died, but I have a real thirst that won't be denied. It's the longing. Well, as I mentioned, the great apologist and Oxford teacher C.S. Lewis describes in his books that inward thirst that all human beings have for something better in life. He calls it a longing. In his classic book, Until We Have Faces, Lewis writes, quote, "The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all beauty comes from." Human beings are on a spiritual quest to find satisfaction, an inward longing to discover that something that will bring fulfillment and meaning to their lives. Lewis proclaims that if I discover within myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And so in my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara, it's about this quest. Tara is drawn to the ocean. She has an inner urge of belonging to the high seas. Nothing else will satisfy her. She has a longing that on the ocean, her world of the wind and the waves, that somewhere out there are the answers that she is looking for. In her brokenness and pain, Tara embarks on a solo circumnavigation of the world in her tiny little sailboat, the Mistral Wind. Yet, this book I wrote more than 8 years ago is more than just an adventure on the high seas. It's a journey. It's your spiritual journey. It's a journey that all of us have taken at one time or another. Whether it's in a sailboat or a car or climbing up a mountain, we have at one time answered this inward call to discover our purpose in life, to get the answers to our suffering and pain and misery. And so my question this morning to you as the listener, do you have a longing, a tugging at your heart? Then if you do, I invite you on this journey this morning, this voyage of inward discovery with Tara. Tara got in her sailboat to answer the inward longing, and the God of irresistible love pursued her all over the world in her tiny little sailboat. Well, I want to talk to us about the longing this morning. Tara, in the opening pages of this book, takes her usual morning stroll along the beach in San Diego where she lives. And as she's out there connecting with the ocean, the ocean waves lapping up around her ankles, swirling around her ankles, the white foam, the sound of birds in the air, the smell of the morning air just after sunrise. Suddenly, as she's walking into the water a little bit, she thinks she sees a sailboat in the distance. And she becomes just excited and frantic. It looks like Nathan's boat that's been missing for over a year. He's on his way home. He's finally coming home to her. And so she looks and looks, and she races out into the ocean waves. And then she realizes it's just a mirage. Her eyes have been playing tricks on her. And she falls to her knees in tears. And the story goes on that Tara has decided that the only way that she can find peace in her heart is to go back out in the world in the wind and waves. She refurbishes the boat. She gets trained personnel to help her to install the latest navigational equipment. And she's going to do what her brother did more than a year ago. She's going to go out in this world in the wind and the waves. She's going to connect to the place in the Indian Ocean where he disappeared. And she's going to do her best to find him. Now, let me just say, there is an incredible surprise ending to this book. You'll have to buy it and read it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But most importantly, I want us to go out with Tara this morning on that journey, that spiritual journey into the world of the wind and waves. Now, along the way, her best friend Scott, before she departed, gave her a Bible. Well, she's not a believer, and she's more of a scientific person, and she kind of goes by everything that she sees with her eyes and feels with her hands, and she doesn't believe in a spiritual dimension to life or an afterlife. To her, as a free-spirited, independent person, she doesn't need religion. And so in my book, Out on the World of the Wind and Waves, Tara is looking through the Bible, and she's kind of laughing and making fun of it. She respects God, but she just doesn't think that his worldview is compatible with reality. And so out there, Tara experiences a lot of things, and you'll have to read the book to find out what they are. But there is one scene toward the end of the book where Tara is swallowed up by a huge rogue wave in the Indian Ocean where her brother disappeared. And the Mr. Wind capsizes. And this next scene is Tara on the life raft. And I want to read to us this morning on the subject of belonging. In chapter 17 of Driven by the Wind, the life raft. And I think after you've heard me read this, you'll understand where I'm going with this story. The bright scorching rays of the sun beamed down upon Tara's face. Beads of sweat rolled down her cheeks. Her throat was parched and dry. She was extremely thirsty, but there was no water to drink. Tara lay sprawled across a rubber inflatable life raft, aimlessly drifting and bouncing in the choppy waves of the Indian Ocean. Mr. Wind was gone, swallowed alive by a 50-foot wave during a violent squall. The last thing Tara remembered was seeing a huge wave, like a giant hand, reach down and squash Mr. Wind. That was the last thing that she remembered. Mr. Wind, the goddess of the ocean, lay deep at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. She was no more. Tara had no feelings left. She was weak, injured, and drifting in and out of consciousness. She couldn't sit up or move her arms. She felt paralyzed, weak, and numb. Her head throbbed with intense pain. She could barely see out of her eyes. All Tara knew is that she had been left to die. She had no food or water. She knew she couldn't last much longer. Tara had lost track of time. Was it 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week ago, when the big wave hit? There was nothing left to live for. Tara's world of the wind and the waves had been cruel to her. She had lost all hope, all desire to live. Now all she was doing was waiting to die. The beads of sweat rolled down her cheek and into her mouth. Tara began to violently cough, trying to lift her head up, and then the excruciating pain hit. She fell back against the bulge of the inflatable raft. Tara was amazed that she was still alive. She didn't remember getting into the life raft, but now that really didn't matter. It would be just a matter of time before she became shark food. In the distance, she heard the cry of the seagulls, but she couldn't turn her head to watch. She was still in too much pain. All she could do was listen. She listened to the rhythm of the waves splashing against the rubber life raft. The bouncing sensation aggravated the scrapes and wounds that were all over her body. Tara slowly tried to open her eyes. Everything was blurry and out of focus. "Help me," Tara muttered to herself, realizing that there was no one around to help her. The Indian Ocean was a vast reservoir of endless water for thousands of miles and no land. Tara was doomed to die. Tears streamed down Tara's face. Her dad had always been there. When she scraped her knees after falling off her bicycle, when she cut her finger on the broken piece of glass, Samuel had been there to kiss it and make it better. "Help me. Dad, please help me," Tara moaned out loud to herself. Tara could see her father's face now, his smile, his arms of love around her. Tara began to cough again. She was extremely weak with no food or water. The pain and brokenness were becoming too much to bear. There wasn't anything left to live for. Tara wanted to die. Mr. Wynn was dead, and so was she. As Tara's eyes began to roll back in her head, she caught a glimpse of the strange light. It looked as though a blanket of fog began to roll in and surround her. Then suddenly, Tara was immersed in this fog. The scorching rays of the sun had disappeared. Everything became hauntingly quiet. The choppy, rhythmic sound of the waves ceased. I must be dying, Tara reasoned within herself. Is this what it's like? All of a sudden, Tara's pain vanished. Her throat was no longer parched and sore and dry. Strength began to return to her injured body. An incredible peace came over Tara, unlike anything she had ever experienced before. She could move her arms and her legs, and she felt the numbness leave her body. Yet instead of rising up, Tara instead laid completely still. She was engulfed in an aura of peace and tranquility. Am I dead? Tara nervously asked herself. Then suddenly, Tara was blinded by an intense white light. She covered her face with her hands. She could not look, and yet she was not afraid or terrorized. She was instead absorbed by a tranquility and peace that she had never before experienced. As Tara lay back in the life raft with her face covered with her hands, she heard a gentle but authoritative voice speak to her from the blinding light. Tara, you are now safe. The words and the sound of the voice sent chills up and down her spine. Tara couldn't move. The voice calmed every nerve and fiber of her being. Tara was spellbound by the words and tone of the voice. Incredibly, the voice sounded so much like that of her father. Am I dead? Is that you, Dad? Tara sat up, shaking and trembling. Dad, is that you? Her eyes were blinded by the light. She covered her face with her hands once again and fell back down in the life raft. Tara, be afraid. I am the God of the wind and waves. I am the pleasure that you feel when you put your hand to the tiller of your sailboat and set sail. I created you, Tara, to experience this joy. I set you apart to feel this pleasure whenever you sail. Tara was shaking and trembling at the words she was hearing, and yet there was such an inner peace and a connection to the sound of this voice. She was no longer battling fear and doubt that this might be a hallucination. Instead, her heart and mind was thirsting, was begging to hear more. I have always been there with you, Tara. I was with you when you were born. I held your hand in your darkest hours and comforted you. I was with you when you were lost and afraid as a child, when you played hide and seek at the lighthouse. I was with you when you cut your hand on a broken piece of glass and when your father kissed it to make it feel better. I was with you when you were crushed and broken over your brother's disappearance. I was with you when your father died. I was there to wrap my arms of love around you. Tara was mesmerized by the words of comfort coming from the voice in the blinding light. She was awestruck, unable to move. Her eyes were flooded with tears. In the midst of total joy, her heart began to feel the bitterness of conviction. She suddenly remembered screaming, "I hate you, God," during the violent squall, and now feeling remorse for what she had said. Yet as soon as she felt the remorse, Tara experienced an incredible feeling of forgiveness. It felt like a wave washing over her body, saturating her soul, and cleansing her of every wrong word or deed that she had ever committed. Tara, I am the God of irresistible love, the voice spoke to her once again. Tara was overwhelmed by what God had just said. She had never known God was a God of love before. In the middle of the Indian Ocean, in a small rubber life raft, Tara was discovering for the first time in her life that God was not angry with her. Instead, that God loved her. Tara, You have been running from me like Jonah did, looking for truth in all of the wrong places. You were never satisfied because every well you drank from made you thirsty again. I am the living water that will always satisfy you. I never gave up on you. I knew one day you would recognize that I am the real pleasure, the real treasure and joy that your heart had been searching for. I am life, Tara. I am love. I am everything that you will ever need. Tara couldn't move. She didn't want to move. The words of God radiated through her heart and soul, giving her such pleasure and such joy that she longed to hear for more. Tara was no longer afraid, and she was no longer empty and confused. She no longer had a longing. Instead, she felt an overwhelming feeling of love and acceptance for the first time in her life. She was no longer hungry and thirsty or broken inside. Right now, she felt healed and whole, like an entirely new person, a new woman. Has that ever happened to you in the midst of your tragedy and sorrow and pain? Have you ever had some kind of experience like Tara and come to discover the God of love who has been pursuing you with his irresistible love? Well, the Bible calls him Almighty. And I want you to hear this special song right now by Chris Tomlin. Beautiful worship music from Chris Tomlin Almighty. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I have been reading to you from my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Terah, and talking about that spiritual longing, that crisis we have in our life when this gnawing at our soul will not leave us. And the important thing is, do not quench that voice. Do not turn away from that voice, because that very well could be the God of irresistible love speaking to you, just like he spoke to Terah in the midst of her brokenness and despair. There are many Terahs in the world today. There are many people that have a longing, a desire for something better. And this book, Driven by the Wind, I believe answers the reason why you have this longing. Terah went out to look for her brother on the Indian Ocean, and she found something incredibly better that she could not describe. And we've been reading from that chapter. Now, the book is not over. I encourage you, if this is you, you're on a spiritual journey, then please go up to Amazon and purchase my book, Driven by the Wind, and find out about the surprise ending. But more importantly, I pray that it will speak to your heart. I pray that you will get an understanding of what I've been describing this morning on the program. And this has been a special broadcast to talk to people in the audience, in the internet, about that spiritual longing that they seemingly cannot get away from. Something that tells them there is something much better than what you see in this world. There is something that answers the hurting and the pain and the brokenness in your life. And so, as I close this morning, it is my sincere prayer that you will not quench the voice of that longing, that you will listen to it. That voice will take you in the right direction. No, it's not some mystical experience. It is truly what I believe, the God of irresistible love speaking to you this morning. I want to give you hope. I'm not here just to sell books. I want to give you hope that just like Terah answered the call and Driven by the Wind when she was at the very end of her life in the middle of the Indian Ocean, it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey. It doesn't matter what you're going through. The God of irresistible love is there to meet you, to welcome you, to love you, to take you away from the pit you're in. Thank you so much for joining me on the broadcast this morning. God bless you, and I will see you Thursday again on The Cross in the Desert. Have a great week.